Dhanaso chaturo vedam.
Dhanaso chaturo vedam.
Chaturbir vadanar vibhu.
Chaturbir vadanar vibhu.
Savyahriti kan somkaram.
Savyahriti kan somkaram.
Chaturhotra vivakshaya. Tena. With that body of sounds. Aso. He. Chatura. The four. Vedan. Vedas. Chaturbi. From his four. Vadanai. Faces. Vibhu. The all powerful. Savyahritikam. Along with the Vyahritis. The invocations of the names of the seven planetary systems. Bhu Bhuva Swa. Mahajanatapa. And Satya. Sa Om Karam. Along with the seed Om. Chaturhotra. The four aspects of ritual sacrifice performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas. Vivakshaya. With the desire of describing. Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sounds to produce from his four faces the four Vedas, which appeared together with the sacred Omkara and the seven Vyahriti invocations. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to the different functions performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas. Translation responsibly. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sounds to produce from his four faces the four Vedas, which appear together with the sacred Omkara and the seven Vyahriti invocations. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to the different functions performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas. Text 45. Brahma taught these Vedas to his sons, who were great sages among the Brahmanas and experts in the art of Vedic recitation. They in turn took the role of acharyas and imparted the Vedas to their own sons. Text 46. In this way, throughout the cycles of four ages, generation after generation of disciples, all firmly fixed in their spiritual vows, have received these Vedas by disciplic succession. At the end of each Dwapara Yuga, the Vedas are edited into separate divisions by eminent sages. Text 47. Observing that people in general were diminished in their life span, strength and intelligence by the influence of time, great sages took inspiration from the personality of Godhead, sitting within their hearts, and systematically divided the Vedas. Texts 48 and 49. O Brahmana, in the present age of Vaivaswata Manu, the leaders of the universe led by Brahma and Shiva requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all the worlds, to save the principles of religion. O most fortunate Shonaka, the Almighty Lord exhibiting a divine spark of a portion of his planetary portion, then appeared in the womb of Satyavati as the son of Parashara. In this form, named Krishna Dwaipayan Vyas, he divided the one Veda into four. Text 50. Srila Vyasadeva separated the mantras of the Rig, Atava, Yajur, and Sama Vedas into four divisions. just as one sorts out a mixed collection of jewels into piles. Thus he composed four distinct Vedic literatures. Purport. When Lord Brahma first spoke the four Vedas with his four mouths, the mantras were mixed together like an unassorted collection of various types of jewels. Srila Vyasadeva sorted the Vedic mantras into four divisions, samhitas, which thus became the recognizable Rig, Artava, Yajura, and Samavedas. Omagyan, Timadandasya, Ginanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurin, Nirtamyena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya, Manobhisham, Stapitam, Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamayam, Dadati Swapadantikam. Vancha Kalpati Rubyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Bhavacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing about the history of how the Vedas appeared within this material world. So the Vedas came from Lord Brahma in the beginning of creation. Actually, they come from Krishna. Krishna is the source of the Vedas. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedantakrit, Vedavid, Aham Eva Vejo. So the Vedas, originally, they're coming from Krishna. But then they appear within the material world from Krishna to Brahma, who is the first created being. This is all described in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that Brahma appeared, he is called Swayambhu. Swayambhu means self-born, self-manifest, no father, no mother, just father, just appears like that. He appears on the top of a lotus flower in the beginning of the creation, and everything is dark because there was no sun in the beginning of the creation. So Brahma is sitting on a lotus flower as far as he can perceive. He's just appeared, just like imagine if this room is dark and you're sitting right here in the middle in this lotus flower, and this lotus flower is three dimensional and it comes up like a lotus. So you suddenly just appear and you're in the dark. And you feel around yourself, you can feel there is a lotus flower. Maybe you're a little bit effulgent, because Brahma is a very effulgent personality. Maybe there's a little bit of light coming from his own personality. So he can feel around, there's a lotus flower. And then he's thinking, where do I come from? What is my source? Why am I here? So then he looks over the edge, and he sees that there is a stem to the lotus flower. So then he thinks, let me go down the stem and see what is here. So he travels down the stem for many, many years. Not years, but like a long, long time. It is said in our time, like years, like that. But he goes down for a long time. He travels down the stem. He cannot find the bottom or the source of the stem. So he's very bewildered. You can imagine how he must feel. He's just appeared. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what his purpose is. So then he goes back to the top and he sits on top of the stem. And then he hears the sound tapa. Because at the bottom of the stem of the lotus is the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And in the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the water from the Garbhodaka ocean. And that is, the water is, the waves of the water are just tapping against the side of the lotus stem, and they make the sound tapa, tapa. So he hears the sound tapa, and then he realizes that his purpose is to perform austerity. He must perform tapasya. So he begins to meditate, and he performs meditation. And at that time, when he begins to perform meditation, divine Saraswati Not Saraswati in this world, who ends up being his wife. Lord Brahma's wife is Saraswati, not the Saraswati of this world, but divine Saraswati, which means Lakshmi, which means the consort of Narayan from the spiritual world. She comes into this world and she initiates him. She says, chant this mantra. She gives him initiation. And she gives him, if you chant Gayatri mantra, if you have Brahman initiation, there are seven mantras we are given in our tradition, in our Gaudiya tradition. The sixth mantra, which is called the Gopal Gayatri mantra, that is given to Brahma by divine Saraswati. This is described in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. So he then begins to meditate on the sound vibration of the holy names of Krishna, because the Gayatri mantra is made up of the holy names of Krishna. So he begins to meditate, and through his meditation he becomes perfect in realization, and he begins to perceive Goloka Dham. He begins to perceive the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. This is the whole point of chanting the Gayatri mantra. It is also the whole point of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra or the Gayatri mantra, what are we meant to be doing? In due course of time, we are meant to be perceiving the spiritual world. We're meant to be getting perception or reception to Goloka Vrindavan. Just like you turn on the television. And in the old days, you had to tune in. Or you turn on the radio these days. It's more simple also. But in the old days, you had to tune in, refine your receptivity so that you get the full message. So when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, this is what we're trying to do. Prabhupada says the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to see Krishna face to face, just like we are all seeing each other right now. That is the goal of our chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada says, just like Mother Yashoda, she takes Krishna by the hand and she can lead him wherever she likes. So Prabhupada said, this is the goal. You can take Krishna by the hand. This is Krishna consciousness. This is what we're meant to be doing. So by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we are meant to begin to perceive Goloka Vrindavan, or the spiritual world. Because the whole spiritual world is within the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, or within the Gopal Gayatri mantra, within the Gayatri mantra. The spiritual world is there. But we have to perceive this. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, he said, and he was very conservative about these kind of things, about higher realizations. He was very careful, very conservative, very strong, not to jump ahead quickly. But he said, after 15 or 20 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, a devotee should naturally take interest in these kind of things. In other words, trying to understand one's eternal relationship with Krishna. One's swarup siddhi, which means one's constitutional position in relationship to Krishna. A devotee, if he is following the process properly, and if he is hearing and chanting properly, if he is studying the Bhagavatam properly, if he is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra properly, after 15 or 20 years, if not sooner, you should be feeling a natural desire to understand your relationship with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. You should feel a natural desire to get receptivity or perception of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. This desire should naturally come. If it's not coming, it means that one is not applying oneself intensely enough to the process. It means one's not applying oneself properly to the process. It means maybe your application is improper. There's nothing wrong with the process. Sometimes devotees say, well, I've been doing it for so long and I'm not getting the result. If you're not getting a result, it means your application is not correct. Because the process is actually very rapid and very powerful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it is like shooting an arrow. When you take an arrow and then you take the bow back to full length, and then pop, you release that arrow, it pierces through anything practically. It says that when Arjuna used to take the, what was the bow? Gandiva. Gandiva, right? So he would take Gandiva right? And then he would take it to full length, and then he would release Gandiva, right? And so when he would release the arrow, it would be a thunderclap, like powerful. You know, imagine being on the battlefield in front of Arjuna. It says in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna and Krishna were coming towards the enemy, the foot soldiers, not the Maharatis, but the foot soldiers, some of them would just freeze and just pass stool and urine. You know, because suddenly Arjuna is coming at you. And he's about to release Gandiva. And it's powerful. So it says that when he would shoot his arrow, the arrow would travel for 1 mile straight without even dropping. Like if we shoot an arrow, after maybe 100 meters, it begins to go down. Right? But when Arjuna would shoot for 1 mile, it would just penetrate everything in its path. It wouldn't drop. It would just be like a missile. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the process of bhakti yoga is like shooting an arrow. It is very powerful, and it just pierces anything in its path, and it moves very rapidly and very directly to its goal. So the process is very powerful. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting the Gopal Gayatri mantra, chanting the Gayatri mantras, it is a very powerful process. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Marg, it is a very powerful process. And it will rapidly take us towards Goloka Vrindavan. But we have to apply it properly, the process. If we're not properly applying the process, we may not get the result. It may be very slow and very troublesome along the way. It will take a long time. But if we apply the process properly, we will get the result very rapidly, very quickly. Lord Brahma, he began to meditate on the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. And while meditating on the Gopal Gayatri Mantra, he began to get perception of Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka began to appear in his consciousness. And it is said that he got to the point in his meditation where he began to hear the sound of Krishna's flute. The flute sound actually became manifest. And he heard the flute. It is said that Krishna has four features which distinguishes him from his other incarnations. One is called Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Venu Madhurya. Madhurya means sweet. Madhu means honey, sweet. Nothing is more nectarian than honey. So Krishna's pastimes are full of Madhurya. They're called Madhurya Ras. Of course, we say the Madhurya Ras or the Sringara Ras is the conjugal mellow, because that is the sweetest. That is the king of the rasas. But actually, all of Krishna's pastimes are called Madhurya Ras, which means just sweet. Aishwarya is covered in Krishna's pastimes. In Lord Narayana's pastimes, everything is Aishwarya. Everything is opulent, supremely opulent. But in Krishna's pastimes, the opulence is actually greater than Lord Narayana's. In the pastimes of Krishna, things are more opulent than Lord Narayana. Goloka Vrindavan is more opulent than Vaikuntha. But the opulence is completely covered by the Madhurya, or the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So no one becomes bewildered by the Aishwarya. Everyone is just completely captivated by the Madhurya. So Krishna's four features, which separate him from his other incarnations, such as Lord Narayana, are these Madhurya features. And this is how he manifests his sweetness, through his prema. Prema means the love between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. In Lord Narayana's pastimes, the pastimes are based upon Dasya Ras, or Dasya Bhav. That means awe and reverence, or the servant and the master. This is God, the almighty, all-powerful personality, and I am his servant. So it is Dasya Ras. And we see in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita that when Gopal Kumar, he goes to he's on his way to Goloka Vrindavan, and he travels through Vaikuntha. He gets to Vaikuntha, and Gopal Kumar, he sees in the distance Lord Narayana. Lord Narayan is Shyam. He has the same bodily color as Krishna. So he thought for a moment, it's Krishna. So he shouted out, he said, "Hey Gopal! Hey Gopal!" Something like that. And everyone in Vaikuntha said, "Hey, quiet down." He said, "Don't you understand who this is? This is Lord Narayan. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't just say, 'Hey Gopal.' You don't just call it, 'Hey Gopal.'" You see, you have awe and reverence when you speak like this. So one of the devotees took Gopa Kamara aside and he said, "I don't think this is the right place for you. I don't think Vaikuntha is your mood." He said, "There is another place. It is called Goloka." He said, "It is a secondary place." Because in Vaikuntha they think that is supreme. They think that's the topmost. We're from, our aspirations go to Goloka, so we see it the other way, like that. But they see it as that is supreme. They said, "Narayan has some pastimes. He appears as a cowherd boy and he lives in the forest." He said, "You go to that place," like that. So Gopa Kumar progressed onwards. But the mood in Vaikuntha is full of Aishwarya. Aishwarya means awe and reverence. So everyone has Dasya Bhav. But in Goloka, in Vrindavan, there is no pure Dasya Bhav. There is only Madhurya, Vatsalya, and Sakya Ras. The higher three rasas only manifest in Vrindavan. That's why it is called Prema Madhurya. Krishna's pastimes are so sweet because Krishna is a boy. He's young. He never goes past the age of 16. Navayovana, Kaishora. So, because Krishna is this age, then the pastimes are very sweet. And for example, he has Vatsalya Bhav, or he has relationship between his parents in Vatsalya Ras. Whereas in Vaikuntha, you never hear that Lord Narayan has relationship with parents. Who is the father and mother of Lord Narayan? Right? It is not mentioned. Probably there is not a father and mother there. Because the mood is different. But in Goloka, Krishna is a cowherd boy. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. So because of this, then the prema, or the love between the devotees, is sweet. It is natural. It is without awe and reverence. Mother Yashoda, she says to Krishna, "Have you been eating dirt?" And he says, "No, I don't eat dirt." And they said, "Well, Balaram said you ate dirt." And Krishna says, "Well, he's just saying that because actually he ate dirt." And then he's saying that now I am eating dirt because he doesn't want to get in trouble. And something happened when we're playing today. And because there's something happened, they did not like it. So all the cowherd boys and Balaram have got on. They've all got together and they're saying, "I'm eating dirt, but I did not eat it." Like that. So she takes the position of being the superior. She says, "Okay, open your mouth." Like that. And she says to him, you speak so many lies. Why are you such a lying boy? Why don't you speak the truth? Good boys should not tell these lies like that. Open your mouth. Oh, you open. Like that. So she gets angry with him. You can't do that. No one in Vaikuntha would do that. Can you imagine someone going to Lord Narayan and becoming angry? Not possible. Open your mouth. Let me see what you ate today. Open your mouth. No one would ever do it. But in Goloka, the mood is sweet. It is Madhurya. So the prema, or the love between Krishna and his devotees, is full of Madhurya Ras. It's very sweet. Right? Prema Madhurya. Leela Madhurya. Leela means the pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna are full of Madhurya Ras, sweetness. Very, very sweet pastimes. Very different to the pastimes of Lord Narayan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he stayed in the home of Venkatabhatta. And he said to him, Lord Chaitanya used to tease him, he used to have fun with Venkatabhatta, because in South India, the Sri Vaishnavas and all the different Vaishnavas in South India, Panchagorgadesh, they worship Lakshmi Narayan. You see, predominantly in South India, there is worship of Lakshmi Narayan. So Lord Chaitanya went and he stayed there, and he used to tease Venkatabhatta. He used to say, "Why is it that your Lakshmi, who is married to Lord Narayan, who is the most opulent personality, Why is it that your Lakshmi wants to come and dance with my Krishna? Your Lakshmi is the most chaste woman, the most devout wife in all of creation, most attached to the most supreme personality of Godhead, the most qualified husband, Lord Narayan. Why does she want to come and dance with my Krishna? So he would constantly question, he'd tease him. So this proves that even Lakshmi is attracted to Krishna's pastimes. And she goes to a place in Vrindavan called Srivan, and she performs tapasya for thousands of years to become a gopi so that she can enter into the rasa dance and dance with Krishna. So for thousands of years she meditates. Finally, when she becomes after thousands of years, I think it is Purnamasi, or one of the gopis, they appear before her. They say, okay, now you've done so much tapasya, please come and dance with Krishna in the rasa lila. But they say to her, if you want to dance with Krishna in the rasa lila, you have to take the vesh, or the form of a gopi. So come with us and we'll train you how to be a gopi. So they say, okay, now you want to be a gopi, you come with us. We'll teach you how to make cow patties. Right? You get the cow patties and you make them and you put them on the side of the tree and you dry them, and then in Braj we use this for cooking. So Lakshmi, please come and make the cow patties with us. And she says, no, 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 no. She says, I am Lakshmi. You have to understand, I am Maha Lakshmi. I am the great goddess of fortune. I don't make cow patties. And they say, well, it's either cow patties or Vaikuntha. It's up to you. If you want to come to Vrindavan, it's different here. The mood is quite different. And during the day we make cow patties, and at night time we dance with Krishna in Ras. So there's qualification to get to Vrindavan. It's not easy to get to Vrindavan. Hands up if you like to make cow patties. We don't mind. Our mood is different. We don't mind. But other devotees, they have a different mood. Their mood is different, and they can't break that mood. So then Krishna awarded Lakshmi the position of Sri Vatsa. So on Krishna's chest, he has a very small blonde tuft of hair on his chest. That is called Sri Vatsa. So Lakshmi eternally resides on Krishna's chest as Sri Vatsa, as that tuft of hair. So she can witness all the pastimes, but she cannot enter the pastimes. Even Shiva, he also tried. Even Narada, they also tried, but they could not enter certain pastimes in Vrindavan. Right? So this is called Lila Madhurya. Krishna's pastimes are full of sweetness. And they are different to all the pastimes of the other incarnations of the Lord. And then you have Rupa Madhurya. Rupa Madhurya means the sweetness of Krishna's form. Krishna's form is so sweet that even Krishna's other incarnations are attracted to that form, that original form. It is said that when Krishna is in Dwarka, and sometimes in the morning, they have dramas in the court before they start the day's proceedings. And it says that the actor sometimes comes onto the stage in front of Krishna, dressed as Krishna in Vrindavan. So when Krishna sees the actor come on dressed as him in Vrindavan, Krishna in Dwarka is watching Krishna in Vrindavan, he becomes ecstatic. And he calls out in ecstasy. And he begins to go into the mood of Vrindavan. And he says, where are the cows? Where are the gopis? Like that. He becomes overcome. So just by seeing the beauty of his form in Vrindavan, he becomes attracted. Even Krishna in Dwarka becomes attracted. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that sometimes he looks into one of the pillars in Dwarka. The pillars in Dwarka are like mirrors. Beautiful jeweled pillars. And when he looks in there and he sees his beauty, he becomes stunned. He said, who is that person? Who is that? I've never seen such beauty as that. Who is this person? And then suddenly he remembers Vrindavan. So Krishna in Dwarka is also attached to Vrindavan. Everything leads to Vrindavan, actually. And if you look at the altar, Radha Ballabha, which is Vrindavan in the center, on the right, our right, we have Jagannath Balarama Subhadra. Jagannath is Krishna in Dwarka, or Krishna in Kurukshetra, remembering Vrindavan. That is Krishna. It is Krishna remembering Vrindavan. Kurukshetra or Dwarka. And that's why he goes into that bar or that mood. He was at Kurukshetra when the meeting took place. It's described at the end of Bhagavatam in the 10th canto that the meeting took place between the bridge buses in Krishna and the Dwarka buses. Everyone went to Kurukshetra when the solar eclipse was taking place. And the residents of Dwarka, they were interested when they had seen, because they'd not met, many of them had not met the bridge buses before. So when the residents of Dwarka saw Krishna's relationship with the bridge buses at Kurukshetra when they all came together, they were amazed. So at night time they went to one big pandal, one big tent, and Rohini, who is the mother of Balaram, she had been in Vrindavan and Dwarka. She'd been in both pastimes. So then she took all the Dwarka buses into a big pandal tent and she said, I'll tell you about how much the residents of Vrindavan are suffering feeling separation from Krishna. So she went into the tent and she said to Subhadra, Krishna's sister, she said, stay at the front of the tent and don't let Krishna come in. Because if Krishna hears how much they are feeling separation from him, he will not be able to cope. So do not allow him to enter. So Subhadra was there and she was listening at the entrance of the pandal. But then when she heard about how much the bridge buses were feeling separation from Krishna, she became stunned. And she, you know when you hear someone talking about you in the next room, right? If someone's talking about you in the next room, you start going like that, your eyes become wide and you begin to like shrink like that. So when she heard this pastime, she went. So then Balaram came along and he saw Subhadra and he said, he thought, I've never seen Subhadra look like that. So then he began to listen to the pastimes, and when he heard the pastimes he also went. So then Krishna came and he saw Balaram and Subhadra and he thought, I've never seen this before. So then he came and he was listening, and then, and that's Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. That is Krishna outside of Vrindavan, feeling separation from Vrindavan. Okay. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. It is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, everything is supremely sweet. It is called Madhurya Ras. Prema Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Venu Madhurya. When Krishna plays his flute, it is so attractive, it is so sweet, that it says everything that is inanimate becomes animated. And everything which is normally animate becomes inanimate in Vrindavan when Krishna plays the flute. So it says that when Krishna plays the flute, the cows who are in the fields chewing grass, they suddenly become like figures in a picture or in a painting. When you look at a painting, you see everyone is still. When Krishna plays his flute, all the cows, they just become stunned and they begin to, and everyone just becomes still. Everything which is normally animate becomes inanimate. And the grass which they're chewing just begins to drop from their mouth. And they're just listening to the sound of Krishna's flute. They're so captivated by the beauty of his flute playing. It says all the birds which are flying overhead, they hear the sound of Krishna's flute and they just, and then they all fall to the ground. They all just, because they forget to fly, they're just captivated by the sound of the flute. Like that. It is said that everything which is normally inanimate, which does not move, it becomes animated. So it says Govardhan Hill and the other mountains in Vrindavan, when Krishna is playing his flute, he's standing on the hill and he's playing his flute, it says the hill, which is solid, stone, it begins to melt like butter. And then Krishna, if you go to Vrindavan, you'll see in different places in Vrindavan, if you do Braj Mandal Parikram, you go to different places, the one place in Kanyavan, where you go to, and you see Krishna's footprint in the stone. Because he was playing his flute at that place, and then the mountain melted. Krishna's foot is very big, it's like about that big. Because Krishna is about 7 foot tall when he manifests in this world. So it means his foot must be like 12 inches, like that. Big, So his foot is there, a big foot. And he has one foot, and because he crosses his right leg across his left foot, and then just his, that upper part, what's that called? Yeah, just that upper portion like that, that's touching the ground. So you see in the stone, Krishna's foot, and then the other small part of his foot, which is melted when Krishna plays the, been there for thousands of years. So, when Krishna plays the flute, it captivates everyone. Now, in the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, he was chanting the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. And when he was chanting the Gopal Gayatri Mantra, he began to hear the sound of Krishna's flute. And that flute sound came from Goloka Vrindavan, and it entered his ears as the Kam Gayatri, which is the seventh of the Gayatri Mantras that we receive. So by chanting the sixth mantra, the Gopal Gayatri, he became perfect in his meditation, and he heard Krishna's flute, and it entered his ear as the Kam Gayatri. And then he began to chant the Kam Gayatri, which is the seventh mantra. And by chanting that mantra, he got full darshan of Goloka Vrindavan, and that's when he spoke the Brahma Samhita, Chintamani, and then he said what he could see in Goloka Vrindavan, and that was all described at that time. Prabhupada says in the Ansha Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the final part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that the sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is actually Krishna's flute. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. That is actually the sound of Krishna's flute. Krishna is right now in Goloka Vrindavan playing his flute, and that sound is entering into the material world as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is non-different. It is pure spiritual sound vibration. And by chanting that Maha Mantra, you will realize Krishna's pastimes. That is the goal of the chanting. So sooner or later, we have to perfect the chanting so that we can begin to perceive Krishna's pastimes. This is our process, which is given to us by our acharyas, by Rupa Goswami. Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Vajanakriya, Anathinivritti. Okay, we've got that far. Fourth level. We're all on that level. But now we have to go further. Nishta means get rid of the anathas. Then Ruchi means become, develop taste for Krishna's pastimes. Asakti, become attached. Bhava, develop sentiments. And prema, develop love. That is our process. So what we're, as Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur says, a devotee should naturally become interested in these things. If you follow the process properly, over time, naturally you should become interested in developing prema bhakti. That is the goal. Prema pumata mahana. Love for Krishna in a particular relationship in Vrindavan. It is not something which is theory, it is something which we need to aspire for and practice and attain in due course of time. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we've discussed. Try to enter the Rasalila. When the Rasalila is performed, they all come to watch it. That's what it says. It describes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. They all come to watch the Rasalila because they're so amazed by that particular pastime. Krishna dances with 3 billion gopis. So when it takes place, it is so beautiful and so wondrous and so opulent and so magnificent that even they come to witness it. They have never seen a pastime. And it actually says all of Krishna's other pastimes personify, and they also come to watch the Rasalila. And all the demigods come to watch the Rasalila. They hide behind the clouds and they watch the Rasalila take place. And Krishna's incarnations also come like that. So they don't... Yeah, that's what takes place. There's also one Shakti. Janani Vas Prabhu was telling us in one class that Krishna has one Shakti when he performs confidential pastimes with Radharani, just like when the Rasalila finishes and then Radha and Krishna go off to have intimate pastimes. So at that time there's a Shakti which takes, because all of Krishna's incarnations are within him because he is Swayam Bhagavan, so everyone else is within him. So when he goes off to be confidential with Radharani, there's a Shakti that lifts everyone out. So he can just be alone with her. And then later on they all come back in. Any other questions or comments? Everything in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes is Madhurya Ras. So Krishna's Sakya Ras is Madhurya, it is sweet. Krishna's Vatsalya Ras is Madhurya, it is sweet. And Krishna's Sringara Ras is Madhurya, it is sweet. But Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that of all the rasas, that is the king of the rasas, that is the emperor, is the Madhurya Ras, or the conjugal Ras. Because all of the other rasas are contained within that rasa. Within Sakya Ras, or friendship, you also have Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras is servitorship is automatically in friendship. In Vatsalya Ras, friendship and servitorship are also contained within that. But within Madhurya Ras, friendship, servitorship, and parental Ras are also contained within that. That's everything. That's why it's the king of the rasas. It contains the most mellow, or the most it is the most complete manifestation of love or desire to please Krishna. Everything is manifest. That's why in the material world, which is a perverted reflection, the ras, which is the most attractive in this world, is relationship between man and woman. Right? You have so many other relationships in this world. But everyone's like, oh, if I don't have that relationship, I'm not complete. I need that relationship to be complete. Right? So then, that is considered to be the topmost relationship. And all the movies in Bollywood and all the movies in Hollywood are just about that relationship. If you don't have that relationship in the movie, no one goes to see the movie. Even though the movie's a documentary about flowers in Brazil. But if there's no love story in the background, then no one's going to see it. Okay, so this is where the taste of the rasa comes. But that rasa is said to be just like when a tree is reflected. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there is the reflection of the tree. There's the original tree and then there's the reflection. So the topmost part of the tree in the spiritual world is Madhurya Ras. And the lowest part of the reflection in the material world is Madhurya Ras. Or conjugal relationship. So it is, in the material world it's perverted. Like that, and it's the lowest thing. You see that the relationships between man and woman in this world, it becomes the most problematic thing. It becomes the lowest grade of consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. So in the material world, when the men and women come together, it turns into the lowest, most degraded state of consciousness. But in the spiritual world, when the original Purusha, the original male, the Adi Purush, the Maha Purush, Krishna, when he comes together with his Prakriti, or his Shakti, or his Gopis, or his wives and Dwarka, it is the highest thing. It is the most pure, selfless thing. So it is considered to be the highest of the verses. Any other questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki.